God's word for our thoughts this morning is recorded in the book of Matthew, chapter 26, beginning with the 35th verse. But Peter declared, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the other disciples said the same. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Could you men not keep watch with me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." This is the word of our Lord. It was in a garden when everything was perfect, and the devil came to Adam and Eve to poison their minds with his pointy little tongue. And then everything was ruined. Death entered into this world. Flowers began to fade. Animals were no longer tame. Fruit began to rot on the trees. Insects began to bite. Man, who used to look forward to meeting with God, now hid from him. Man now would have to sweat and suffer and die. The Bible tells us that Adam and Eve lived a long time, but soon their bodies would begin to bend over and they'd return to dust from which they had come. It happened. The devil had come, and now everything was ruined. Death had entered the world. But Adam and Eve and their descendants would get something far worse than just that. They had wanted to talk and listen to Satan, and now they and all their descendants would get just that. Talk and listen with him forever in hell. It was in a garden. Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus, just earlier in that week, had driven past that on a donkey, this Garden of Gethsemane, and now here he is, barely able to stand under the immense suffering he was beginning to undergo. He was there to undo everything that the devil had done in that other garden. In Psalm 40, the Son of God prophesied about himself this way. He said, "Here I am, I have come. It is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will, my God. Your law is within my heart." Today, that same Son of God speaks to us from that garden across all centuries to encourage us with this spiritual discipline to watch and pray. There have been many tragedies in our world that have been caused by just a little thing. I remember back to fifth grade in Mr. Stint's class as we watched the space shuttle Challenger take off. And the crew and that spaceship were destroyed because of one small, tiny thing, an O-ring that failed. Or I think back to those wildfires that took place in the West and how many of them just started with just one little spark. It seemed like just a little thing, what Satan had presented to Eve. Don't you want to be just like God? I mean, you're even higher than I am as a... Don't you want to be like him? I know a way where you can be just like God. It seemed like just a little thing that he was bringing to them, but it was huge. They were going to go against God's will if they listened to him. And they did. And ever since then, the human will has been opposed to God's will. We see it in our own lives. We see it in the fact that we use that first-person pronoun so often. We talk about my life and what I want. What Satan did in that garden was to teach us to defiantly say to our God, no. We see it even in the littlest human beings, right? It doesn't take long for a little kid, a toddler, to shout out those words, mine, mine. Our wills, what we want, and not what God wants so often. But now here's the second Adam. And he will do what you and I and the whole human race before him had not been able to do, to faithfully carry out God the Father's will. And so he tells his disciples, watch. He doesn't say to them, watch out for Judas, or watch out for the enemies, or... He says, watch me. Because there in that garden, they needed to see something. They needed to realize something. Jesus had brought these three other disciples with him to some other marvelous situations. They were there, Peter, James, and John. Jesus brought them into a room. And they saw him raise a little girl from the dead. They were with Jesus on that mountain where they saw him in all his glory as God on the mountain of transfiguration. And now he says, I need you to watch me and to see what this is all about. It's not about going from glorious situation to glorious situation, from fame and all the... It's about this. Right now. Watch. Watch as I begin to suffer. Watch, and we see. He can barely even stand as the weight of this world's sin begins to fall on him. History teachers have told us some situations about those first martyrs in the Christian church. How many of them went to their deaths knowing that they were going to die, and yet they had praise on their lips and joy on their faces. And the Romans could not figure out how and why. Because they knew that this death was not really death. This was life for them. And so we may wonder, well, if those first Christians, if they could face death that way, why can't Jesus? Because his death was different. Watch. Listen to what he says to his father. He says, "Yet not as I will, but as you will." This was going to be no ordinary death. The Father was placing before him a cup of suffering, a cup filled with the most vile, wretched things, your sin and mine, the suffering that we deserved. The Father held it before him, and he could barely even sniff it. But he was willing. Watch your Savior faithfully do the Father's will. He lives a perfect life, even up to the end, for you and for me. But what a contrast when we turn from watching Jesus and we turn our attentions to his followers. They're sleeping. Jesus says to them, "Really, guys? Just a little bit? You couldn't stay awake just a little bit?" No. He tells them, "The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." I don't think that they wanted to fall asleep. Peter didn't want to deny Jesus. Thomas didn't want to doubt him. And you look at your life, I look at mine, and I don't always want to sin, but we do. It's because the Spirit, my want, the new self in me, wants to do what God wants me to do, but what my flesh, it's weak. So often we just can't do what the Father wants. We resist, we fail to watch, we fail to pray. We play with sin and we get burned. And so the season of Lent calls us to this spiritual discipline of praying. He doesn't say somehow that you can just, Pastor Holt, just reach inside of you and you can really do this sort of thing now. You can just be strong. You can resist temptation. Just find it inside of you. No, he says, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. Prayer is an important part of our Christian life, right? But Jesus isn't talking about praying for the sick or praying for blessings or praying for thanksgiving to God. He's praying that the will would be done. That's what he tells you and me to do. Pray for strength. Pray for God's will to be done. Not by me, but in me. In you. We figure it out from the words of Martin Luther in our catechism, right? What it is that God's will is. Lead us not into temptation. It's a prayer for God's protection, God's strength that he might give to us, not that we might find it in ourselves because our flesh is weak. We pray, thy will be done, just like Jesus did. And this is his will, to break and defeat every plan and purpose of the devil. He says, as you see my son, your Savior, suffering for you, being obedient even to death on a cross, as you see that, pray for strength. And so we will. We pray as we watch, because we know we have a God who hears and who will help to his glory and for your salvation. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, that peace guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We'll now